WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Loud noises!
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
Are you saying that there's a party in your pants and that I'm invited?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
The Omega!
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn. That's what kind of man I am.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
Basically, the biggest story of my career, launching me to a level I've never known before.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Who's there? I'm talking. Hello.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
WTR Sunday night.
And that's it. Now let's do this.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is WrestleMania 32, the recap of Night 1 and 2, 30, I presume.
37.
Because we have a...
37.
37?
Not 32, 37.
It's been a long day. It's been a lot of wrestling to take in. All right, 37. Okay. We have a crowd back. We have Edge back. A lot of people back. And we have a lot of wrestling and a lot of matches to talk about, so let's not waste any time. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have one Sir Rockin. Well, maybe we do.
Maybe we do. I'm here. We're live. I was taking a drink of water because it's been a long night. Yeah. It's going to be a show.
Mm-hmm. We also have with us one Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, I am also here to, I'm pretty sure, talk about how poorly my picks were for WrestleMania this year.
You and me both.
Some curveballs are thrown tonight.
This is the swerve edition of WrestleMania. And leading the way, the only Canadian less welcome in Tampa than Teddy Hart, the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I really don't.
Come to Tampa, find out.
I've never been to Tampa, and I've never pissed anybody off.
Wow. Okay, only one of those might be true.
I've never pissed anyone in Tampa
off. There you go. Well,
in person.
There you go. I like how all three.
I don't know anybody in Tampa that I pissed off.
I like how all three of us called him out on him never pissing anyone off at the same time. Just want to make sure.
I'll piss a person off. Yeah, I feel like it. I'll piss somebody off.
You have. That's what I'm saying. We all called you on it because you have.
Yeah, no, because like you guys started talking before I finished.
Because we know you, Tim. We know you.
I only did it because it's funny to me. Really. Anyway, everybody, yeah. After a month's worth of wrestling packed into a week, we are finally here. The end of WrestleMania 37, WrestleMania 2021, the return of the live crowd.
The phrase is back in business.
Back in business. Well, that's huge. And it felt really good to watch wrestling with a live crowd again. It really did.
It was amazing that they sold the same amount of tickets for both nights. It was amazing. 25,675 for both nights. It was amazing.
Yeah, you'd almost think that the same people bought tickets for both nights. You never know.
Just about.
You see, what happened was WrestleMania really wasn't live. What happened was they did pre-record it, and they actually had the audience bring a change of clothing. It's a trick that WWE has learned from daytime game shows.
Well, they probably did need a change of clothing because it poured on night one.
It absolutely soaking wet last night. That is another first in WWE history. A rain delay for a wrestling show.
And it allowed people to cut awesome promos.
It did. We were talking about this.
Unscripted promos. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, we were talking about this in Skype chat last night. And this was something Rock presented to us on an edition of WTR. How would you improve Raw? One of my suggestions was let those who could cut improv promos on their own go for it. And last night, they had the best on the mic, killing time.
And Shane McMahon.
But an absolutely amazing event. It's almost like a sequel event because it did the pirate ship and everything again.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's almost as if they reused the exact same things they produced last year.
Which you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think the ship was bigger.
I mean, Kevin definitely wasn't jumping off this ship.
No.
Well, we never got to see the ship last year.
But, there you go. It's post-WrestleMania 37 edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. For those of you who have never tuned in before, thanks for finding us. For those who have come back to bitch about the booking, welcome back. And everybody else, welcome back. That even goes to Matt. Welcome back, Matt. Because what the hell? Anyway, guys, overall thoughts on night one, Omega.
For a card that on paper looked abysmal,
yep,
and something I would expect as like a filler pay per view somewhere throughout the year, night one delivered in ways I never would have expected.
Do tell.
Well, that's the point of the show. And if I wasn't going to tell, I wouldn't show up.
No, elaborate. He wants you to elaborate because he's trying a thing here. Just elaborate a little bit.
Okay. We had a celebrity who could actually wrestle, who actually, yep, put in the time and actually wanted to take bumps and actually show he could do stuff. We had Cesaro getting a desperately needed, W at Mania. Shane McMahon died for our sins.
Again.
Again. I said it in the chat. That's what happens. At the end of the wrestling year, they drop the Shane.
It's just weird that WrestleMania happens after Easter because they always kill Shane every year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just for him to rise again.
I mean, they don't want to take away from Easter.
Remember that?
He'll rise again at Backlash.
Get it right. WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah, well, and it's the Easter of wrestling.
I mean, they brought God back on that show.
Oh, God, I remember that.
I mean, God showed up at this WrestleMania.
What was that you said in Skype chat at the beginning of the show?
Oh, what was it?
Something about, yeah, let's have a great show, bring the fans back. God says, hold my beer or whatever.
I wouldn't use hold my beer, but yeah, that's the gist of it.
That was the gist of it, yeah. But I'd have to scroll back, and that's a lot of scrolling because we did a lot of talking, but it gave me a chuckle because that was a good one. Not so fast or whatever. So night one impressed you.
Yeah. Way more than I expected.
Shockingly so. Keishi, your overall thoughts on night one?
I thoroughly enjoyed night one. Yeah, way more good things than bad things as far as I was concerned. Yeah. The rain did suck, but I mean, it gave it gave the opportunity for the wrestlers to cut some unscripted promos, and all of the ones that they chose did a really, really good job. So while some people were disappointed with the rain, you couldn't ask for a better silver lining to those rain clouds.
Okay, fair enough. What was your match of the night last night, Gage?
Ooh, easily Bianca Sasha. They, okay.
Okay.
They tore it up like the wind tore the sails of the ship.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that one did whip through for a bit. So that was a fantastic match
from bell to bell from those two. They deserve the spot that they were given. They brought it to, like, I mean, they were put in the spot. They earned the spot. They showed everybody why they were put there. Easily match of the night.
And for those of you wondering, just get onto Twitter for crying out loud. Pics of that welt from Bianca's hair whip is all over Twitter.
I think the idea is what it looks like today, not what it happened look like yesterday. It's the after effects of it.
Well, yeah, day later, it's all darker and there's a bigger bruise. But holy cow, it sounded like gunshot, Omega.
It sounded like a whip crack and not hair. Like actual leather cowboy like style whip crack,
like Catwoman in Batman Returns killing those mannequins, man.
They found out that she did that in one take.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Well, having hair like that, basically it is a whip. It's the same length and it's very similar in that it does taper down at the end. The snap was impressive. It really was. Omega, what is your match of the night for night one?
Oh, it definitely Sasha and Bianca.
Yep. Okay.
Like, I'm thrilled that they gave them the main event slot because, yep, you know, so it's not the first women's main event, but they did that. The only reason WWE did that is because they had Ronda Rousey for name value. Yep. They had a air quote celebrity that the rest of the world knew about in the match. This was two homegrown women from NXT coming up and putting on a match no one expected to be the caliber it was. Like, you knew it'd be good because both of them are fantastic talents, but that was far and away better than I would have even anticipated given that expectation.
Okay, let me ask you this. Going back, it's a match, two matches involving Sasha. However, both matches involve I just drew a blank. I hate when my brain does this. Bailey. Mm-hmm. Their match in NXT and then their match in WWE. The NXT title match, we were all in unanimous agreement that one was definitely a match for the ages, correct?
I mean, Bayley and Sasha at Brooklyn was my match of the year.
Yep. And then their match for the title in WWE.
Are you talking about the Cell?
Yeah.
That was really good, too.
Yep. Was also extremely good. Where would you, like both of those matches are, they're highlight matches. Where would you rank the women's title match for last night?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. Too soon, right?
It's way too soon.
I'd had to sit and watch them all.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad idea for an afternoon.
Here's the thing. The Brooklyn match had more historical meaning, which allowed last night to occur. Because that match let them evolve and to lead to this point.
Rock, how do you know exactly where I'm going here?
I don't know, Tim. I don't know.
Jeez, it's weird. Like the Brooklyn match is number one. I would put last night's match in second place, and then the Cell match in third. That's pretty much how I'm ranking it. And last night's match is only in second place because the first one I brought up, like Rock said, super historic.
So where does to throw it in? Like the other match that comes to mind for the women was like Becky and Charlotte.
The 32.
Last woman standing.
I was going to even say the WrestleMania 32 match between the three of them, Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha. That's up there too.
Becky and Charlotte is in my, this is just me, it's a personal thing. Everybody, you can have your own damn opinions. Becky Charlotte ranks number four, and then the three-way is number five. Those are my top five all-time current women's matches.
Okay, so moving on from ranking women's matches, we have 14 matches to talk about, Tim.
We do. There's a shit ton. Just wanted to get everybody's net one highlight, you know, like match of the nights. Mine. I gotta be in agreement with you guys, but I've got an asterisk with it because I'm gonna put the Bad Bunny match right up there too.
That dude went out there and worked.
Let's talk about it really quickly, shall we?
Go for it.
I was not expecting that. The last celebrity I saw that was any good in the ring, talked about it with you guys, was Steve Amell.
Yep, because and, like Steve Amell, they both went to a ring And they did what? Oh, they trained. They put some work in, which I'm sure is appreciated by everybody in the back.
Yeah.
As opposed to other people who just show up and and pretend to know what they're doing. So,
cough, cough, Snooki, cough, cough.
But that's a celebrity one-off. He relocated to Florida to train for 3 months.
Yeah. No. I give nothing but props to Bad Bunny.
Absolutely. Yeah. You think the main difference between Bad Bunny and Stephen Mel didn't spend the time in the ring that Bad Bunny did. Go, Omega.
I mean, I'm throwing Pat McAfee's name in there, too.
He was awesome at TakeOver last year. Tim didn't see it, so he can't touch.
I will never be mad at a celebrity who comes into wrestling and wants to participate as long as they go and do the work.
Yeah.
Thank Adam Pearce. Thank Drew Gulak. Thank The Miz. John Morrison.
Yep.
Yeah, Miz and Morrison made him look like a star.
Well, and I mean, Miz and Morrison, like, it was just like I said last week, you know, Miz and Morrison are perfect for that match because they can do what they did, and it's not going to take anything away from them. Tomorrow night, they're going to go on to Raw, and they're going to stay in the exact same position that they were as great heels, being hated. So, like, yeah, perfect opponents for Bad Bunny.
We said 100%. Hold on, Tim. We said this forever. Miz is a company guy, and he'll do whatever the company wants, and he did it last night.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between doing whatever the company wants and doing whatever the company wants and doing it well, and The Miz is the perfect person to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Bret the Hitman Hart can have a match with a broomstick. Well, The Miz can have a match with anybody and still look like a dick.
I was just going to make the point that it's my personal opinion, Miz and Morrison are extremely underrated. They fall into that category of making anybody look good.
Yep. Nope. They do a great job.
So they could make a mop that look good. Hey, they could make our old friend Mace look good. He's in the chat room, and that was just a shout out to him. That's all. Relax. Everybody's all of a sudden nervous. Tim took a shot at Mace. Ooh.
Who's Mace?
Oh.
Okay, you're new. You can get away with that.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that. I don't mean that in like a talking shit way. I'm genuinely curious.
Who the hell's Mace?
Yeah, I have no idea. I would like to know more. Tell me more about Mace. I mean, maybe not
internet.
I was just gonna go there.
Tell me about Mace next week when we don't have 13 more matches to go through.
There you go.
There you
it's
go.
Boots yeah. to asses time.
Thanks, Mace, for the sub. Anyway, continue.
There you go. Yeah. So yeah, no, that was a fantastic match.
Matt. Thanks, man.
I didn't expect to enjoy it the amount that I did.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone did. I think we were dreading this.
We
dread most celebrity matches.
Didn't we make fun of it last week? Just a little bit.
Probably.
Yes, knowing us,
you guys did. I praised it. It was knew it was gonna be good, but that's different.
There you go. So, but yeah, what started the night off there? What match started the night off, Rock?
The WWE title match.
It did. And everybody, including me, was absolutely positive this was going to be Drew McIntyre's live crowd pop title win. Oops.
Well, we were hearing about it for literally a year. WWE's internal reaction is they wanted a crowd for his coronation. They wanted that big pop.
I have a question about that. Did they actually say that, or is this the internet projecting that's what we wanted?
I mean, part of that is internet projection, but you know, I mean, it's a dirt sheet report. What do you want? But at the same time, it kind of looked that way, didn't it? Because they quickly took it off of him on The Miz and quickly put it on a top heel and quickly put this match together. It seemed like it was just lined up for that to happen.
I mean, we had a dirt sheet report saying Roman Reigns' title reign was supposed to be short, and here we are. Just saying.
Yeah.
You can't really trust everything on the dirt sheets, but I was convinced that they were going to give it back to Drew, and Bobby was a transitional.
The whole theme of WrestleMania, at least on night one, they're trying to make people and different people. They spent a year making Drew, and now they're trying to make Lashley. Let's go for it.
Well, that's been the big bitch. They haven't been making new stars. They haven't been pushing different people for the longest time, and now. They're last night we saw them do that. You're exactly right. Overall, I enjoyed it. It was a good match. It was exactly what I figured. You know, two great big behemoths beating each other up in the ring. It's like, you know, you watch the – you go to the fights and don't care too much about the preliminaries, and you're waiting for the for that main event, Mike Tyson and whoever he's going to kill. And this had that big match feel.
Yep, they did a good job beating the crap out of each other, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. But I do expect that this back and forth between the two guys is not over yet, and eventually I think Drew winds up getting the title back off Bobby.
Or they
I
mean, make eventually some... eventually.
Eventually, or they make someone else new.
Yeah. Well, that's down the road. For now, here's the thing. You know, like, I'm expecting Drew to win. I'm a Drew McIntyre fan. It took me a long time to come around to become a Drew McIntyre fan. Like you say, I'm expecting him to win. I admit I'm kind of wanting Drew to win, but I'm okay with Bobby retaining Omega.
I am okay with it because he's been that one that's been just basically written into a bad corner his entire career.
Yeah.
You know, you look at his. You look at what they were doing with him and Leo Rush, with the ass slapping, and to look now where he's, you know, where he's retaining a championship at WrestleMania. That's a long way to get him away from all of that. To finally like book him in the right direction to where he is just this dominator in the ring.
Yep.
I'm pleasantly surprised because I really was expecting that big championship win pop. For Drew, I'm happy they went. I'm happy they're letting Lashley run with it and making him a serious contender and not transitional.
Well, when Lashley came back, the biggest disappointment for me was not was WWE not pushing him towards Brock Lesnar.
Mm.
You know, I just. He comes back and I'm thinking, yes, make that match happen. It never did. So this may be almost like a makeup, as you know, as far as that goes. I don't know. Casey.
Yo. Oh, do you want me to talk more about this match?
Well, that's why I called your name, son.
I don't know. It was in the words of Big E, two big men slapping meat. They did a good
you
job.
You normally have to go to Pornhub for that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Omega, how do you know?
I have friends.
Okay.
No, I mean, yeah, like... they did a good job opening the show. They came out and they set a pace of just physical beating the crap out of each other wrestling that you would expect from two large imposing gentlemen such as these. Mm-hmm. The outcome was a bit of a surprise, but I mean not in a I didn't think didn't deserve it way. I was okay with it. I was just like, I was expecting Drew to win just like most people. So, good swerve. He didn't tap out to the Hurt Lock. So that keeps a little bit of something for Drew for later. So yeah, I mean, not the booking decision I expected, but a decent outcome nonetheless.
Absolutely. And the one thing that did impress me is it was given a air quote legit win.
Yeah.
And not a cheap not a Jey Uso win. We'll get there, don't worry about it. But so yeah, there was that match. Also on last night's card was the tag team turmoil contenders match. Lana and Naomi taking on Tamina and Natalya with the Riott Squad versus Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, Carmella and Billy Ray.
Billy Ray's a country singer, Tim.
That's right. I don't know why I was thinking Achy Breaky Hurt, but there you go.
Billy Kay is awesome. Just going to say that.
Okay, you know what the problem is I'm wearing my driving glasses and not my reading glasses. Uh-huh. And I couldn't distinguish the R from the K.
No, I'm just saying she's awesome. She's very entertaining. Yep.
Just ask her, right?
It's on her resume.
Yeah, that she's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So, quick thoughts on this match, Omega.
This one, I think this for night one is a match that kind of went the way I thought it would. I'm not a big fan of the gauntlet style matches.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like this one wasn't terribly exciting to me, and the outcome of I think the outcome is the only shock to this is that Tamina got a pinfall at WrestleMania. That's not something that was on any of my bingo cards.
Yeah, I don't think anybody had that on their bingo cards. However, who did you pick to win in Pick'em?
I thought it'd be Lana and Naomi because Naomi is criminally underused, and Lana is like always pushed at some point for some reason.
For some reason, they can't figure out why. That was a little bit mean for Lana.
That was very mean, Tim. You should apologize.
I apologize, Lana. I know that you listen all the time.
But no,
remember the size of her husband and the fact they own a tank.
But here's the thing: when it comes to Lana. They had the perfect ending story they could have told by her defeating Nia at a WrestleMania. That would have been the closure you could have gotten.
Yeah, the problem is they let that story peter out and taper off too much.
Well, yeah.
I mean, well, they finished the story off because she beat her in a tables match, and that was like the whole thing to their feud.
And so, yeah. Casey, who did you pick to win?
I picked Natalya and Tamina.
Why?
Because
Natalya.
Canadian bias.
No, it wasn't even Canadian bias.
Hey, because get my name used is to not, it, Keish.
My name
get
is not
Tim it.
Stein. I don't have Canadian bias. I've picked against Natalya before. I just, as far as booking is concerned, Natalya and Tamina have been the focal point of the booking of the women's tag division as far as setting up to face the champs. So I expected them to win because they were put in a position to make me believe they were going to win, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
So from a booking standpoint, this is why this match suffered. They gave the girls 14 minutes, four tag matches in 14 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a lot to do in a short time for that many teams.
When they do those tag team turmoil matches on Raw, it's 30 minutes, 40 minutes. This got 14.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was the match that lost a lot of time due to the rain delay.
No, actually, none of the matches lost time.
They moved everything. They did not cut time last night.
Oh, wow. Then they should have given them a little bit more.
They kept everything. Mm-hmm. Everything was under 18 minutes or less last night.
Which is amazing. The show went longer last night than tonight.
Well, because of a 40-minute.
There's no delay.
There was a 40-minute delay.
Forget, you know, like taking the 40-minute delay into factor
this
into account.
Tonight was longer then.
Tonight was longer.
Tag team turmoil matches don't belong on a show where they don't get enough time to flesh them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to make a credible contender when they've only been in the match for 4 minutes.
Yeah. It would have made more sense for them to have two matches on SmackDown on Friday. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And this tag team turmoil match.
Or like a tag team tournament leading up to the finals of the tournament being tonight. And then the winner of the finals face the champs. Or, you know what I mean? The finals being Saturday.
Yeah.
The championship match being Sunday. But that way you give time for every tag team to possibly look like they could win.
Yeah, that's smart booking. They need to get everyone on the show.
Yeah.
All right, next match, Tim.
Yeah. Up next, let's just talk steel cage match. We briefly breezed past it.
Well, that wasn't the next match, but okay.
Well, no, okay. I'm not going in order. I don't have it written down in order.
All right, talk about the cage.
So there was a steel cage match with Shane McMahon and Braun Strowman, and Shane didn't jump off of anything this time.
He got thrown off it.
He was thrown off the top of the cage. But because of the rain conditions last night, and of course, yeah, sure, the rain went away, but shit's still wet. And, that was evidence with the ladies tag team match. Who was it? Was it Dana Brooke that,
Mandy Rose. Mandy
it was
Rose.
Mandy that slipped. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know. They both look very,
they
very
looked,
much.
They tried very hard to look like matching Malibu Barbies.
Yes,
they have. And Dana Brooke over the last 6 to 8 weeks has started to look more like Mandy. It's very obvious.
It's a very single white female thing happening. It's weird.
And we're used to people like trying to escape a cage, not get ripped back into a cage.
Yeah.
Shane got ripped back into the cage.
That was impressive. He's on the other side, sticks his hand through the wire, to wave bye-bye to Braun. Braun gets up and grabs his hand, doesn't let him go, and rips the cage to Hall's ass cool. back in.
Also, for a feud, I know, it's Shane being a heel, it's him being a cocky heel, and this is what heels do. But to book the entire storyline about him thinking Braun is stupid and then do something that stupid.
Doing something dumb. That was, I don't know, I think that was good booking.
I mean, it was good booking, you know, because that was the thing, is you're finding out who the real idiot here is.
How subtle was it, though? That's the problem.
It was as subtle as Braun Strowman is.
Shouldn't say problem. I should have said question.
Still,
the only way it would have been any more obvious is if Shane was going to go, okay, I'm going to stick my hand through the cage and wave goodbye to you with no thoughts of repercussions of the move that I'm about to do, and then do it.
Yes, you didn't even need to stick your hand through the cage, dude.
Why would you do that?
Why would
that's pretty stupid.
Now that said, I love the spot.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, no, it was a good cage match. Didn't overstay its welcome. It was exactly what it should have been.
That is exactly. That's very succinct, Keish. We got Shane Mann at WrestleMania dropping from a height. This time he was thrown instead of jumping, but he still it was still from a height. And then you got what you would expect from Braun in a Braun Strowman match.
Yeah.
Good job by Shane Mann. That's what you called him, Shane Mann.
Shane Mann?
Shane Mann.
Shane O'Man.
With the powers of a Shane.
So he's able to turn into a superhero by saying Shane Zam?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it was just worried that might have been too much of a dad joke anyway. So, yeah. So there was that. Retribution? Is that a good word to use? I'm not talking about the group now. I'm talking about,
nobody's talking about the group now.
Yeah, no kidding. But I am talking about Cesaro versus Seth Rollins.
I don't know if that was a proper setup for that one. Anyway, go, Maya.
It was clumsy.
I love the setup for this match. I love the setup because it's, they split Cesaro and Nakamura just, you know, like, because, well, one, both of them deserve to do more as singles competitors, but also, like, they weren't doing anything as a tag team. And they ended amicably. You know, like, they got into the Royal Rumble and they were still like, no, we're still cool, right? Yeah, okay. We'll fight you later. Let's handle everyone else right now. Like, I like that. I get so sick of, like, the tag teams that break up just because. And it's always like, you're my best friend, and now I'm going to violently pummel you.
Yeah.
And the scorned friend is like, why would you do this? I will viciously attack you as well. I like that they just left it, that they still get along, and then that led to this feud where Seth could feud with Cesaro basically by taking it out on Nakamura.
Yeah. Yep. You're absolutely correct. No, this was very entertaining, very good. And of course, as on a less, you know, a lesser version of, is he or is he not going to take the move? They teased the spin a few times.
Yep.
The better spin was the UFO spin.
Oh, man, oh, was it ever.
Jeez. How many revolutions did he have on the UFO? Nobody counted.
No, that made it better.
How many revolutions did they have on the spin?
They said 23.
23. Everybody counted. But the crowd was just...
Oh, the crowd always fucks up the count because, you know, they're it's like watching the New Year's ball drop. They just count as fast as they can.
They were doing a double count. They were counting two for every one.
It wasn't a double count. It was literally like one, two, three, four. Like, slow down.
But the match itself was extremely, it was entertaining. They both did a really good job.
Yes, Cesaro is a dramatically underrated talent.
I have to agree. And I do agree with when they say pound for pound, he's one of the strongest guys in the locker room.
Oh,
or on the roster.
It's frightening. It really is. Like, I went back to watch, like, him, like, hefting Big Show over the rope for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yep.
Big Show's helping him a little, but not much.
Not very much, no. But if there is ever a WWE superstar to star in a Jason Statham movie as his brother, I want it to be Cesaro.
or any Hitman movie.
So there you go. Yeah. Okay. Any final thoughts on this one, Cage?
No. No. It was
okay. Just no. I got nothing.
So much wonderful, wonderful spinning. They did overall, they did a really good job. It was a good back and forth. Nobody really lost anything here. And Cesaro gained a crap ton, deservedly so, even though I'm pretty sure everybody who is not the writers, the bookers of WWE already knew that. So that's all I really have to say. Loved it.
Fair enough. Good enough. The next one is another tag team match. This one was for the titles. New Day defending against AJ Styles and Omos.
Big man do big things. Xavier Woods, if you need someone to look scared, he's the best person to do it.
Great facial expressions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely.
He made Omos just by facial reactions. When he's on that top rope going, no, don't do it. Don't tag him. No, no, no. And then it was, oh shit, I'm screwed.
Yeah. And of course they did, a fantastic job selling, that they were doing everything they can to go to AJ into starting the match. So they didn't have to get the face Omos. And, the ring announcers helped sell that too. Made it more effective.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. They did. This was a well put together match because, you know, New Day did the right thing of isolating AJ because, you know, as soon as Omos gets in there, they know that they're in for some trouble. So, yeah, you spend most of the match beating the crap out of AJ, preventing AJ from tagging in Omos. And then, unfortunately, as soon as you do, well, then it's all over. And they did a great job just dying.
Yeah, essentially, that's what they did. Omega, what do you think about Woods trying to chop almost down, kicking him in the calves, and absolutely no reaction?
There's part of me that never wants almost to sell a single move. just be a just pretend you're a redwood tree and just stand there.
Just let them try to chop you down and don't move.
Yeah, you're right. Like the announcers made this, you know, the reactions made this because, you know, Kofi can sell like he's fighting Superman. And then, you know, and then Xavier is another like terribly underrated talent because he looked scared to death of Omos. And that's how you make your new monster, you know, and it helps that the last time we had someone who was just super tall, it was the Great Khali. And we know how that worked
or didn't.
But Omos could move. Almost had some actual wrestling moves in him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. some corner to corner running action and like actual running action.
Yeah, yeah, his knees work.
Yeah, but his corner to corner running action is like three steps and he's there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's better than it's better than like trying to like use your entire body weight to make your one leg move and then swinging the rest of your body to make your other leg move. Yeah. You know, like he's a good big man. He's like a Big Show in WCW big man.
Yeah, like the contrast in Great Khali is he looks like a marionette came to life and is still figuring out his arms and legs.
Interesting analogy. Oddly enough, it kind of works. So, I picked New Day to retain, but what about you guys? Do you remember your picks?
I'm pretty sure I picked New Day. I thought they were going to figure out some way to get the pin on AJ while Omos was distracted. Unfortunately, that is not how it went.
No. I picked AJ and Omos because I had faith in Vince's hard-on for gigantic men.
That's really homoerotic from you, Omega.
I mean, am I wrong?
No. So there's that. And of course, we opened up talking about the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Do you guys want to dwell on this a little bit longer, talk about it? We spent a lot of time already.
It was great. I can't say enough good things about it.
Good Lord, Bianca Strong.
Yeah. Oh, man, that gorilla press walking up the stairs.
Woo! Yeah, that looks impressive as hell.
Yeah, that'll be in highlight reels for years to come.
I love all the transitions. I love the the reversals, getting to the KOD at the end.
Yep.
Oh, I also, this just popped into my head. I also want to put over the missed double stomp from the corner when Sasha had Bianca in the Tree of Woe.
Yeah.
And they were doing that whole like, oh, she's holding herself up, waiting for the stomp, waiting for the stomp. That we've seen a million times before, and everybody and their grandmother goes, why are you standing there waiting for the person to stomp on you? Lo and behold, Bianca lets go, and Sasha misses the stomp, which is what everybody should do in that situation. You either hold yourself up for the 30 seconds that you do while the person gets up on top of the ring, on top of the ropes, and screw up the timing, or you hang down, and when they're about ready to jump, then you start pulling yourself up. So
Yeah, I hate that spot because it never makes sense. I hate it when Del Rio did it.
Yeah, if you're gonna do that, you hang upside down until the person is pretty much ready, then you start pulling yourself up to make the timing look good. Don't sit there waiting for the person to jump on you.
And this is coming from a guy that works inside a ring and basically sets up his own ass to get beat on a regular basis. So he knows what he's talking about.
I do everything I can to, if there's one thing that I work on more than anything, it's making sure that I don't see things coming.
That's a good way of putting it. So, yeah. So there you go. That is
my greatest skill, being oblivious.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you say that, Omega, but you should see Keishi work and not just that one match that you watched because he is really good at being oblivious.
I'll take your word for it.
Moving on.
Weirdly enough, that's a compliment. Ask Keishi.
Moving on.
That was night one in the books. Very, very, very entertaining Saturday night. Moving on to tonight, night two. And again, none of my notes are in any kind of order, Rock, just so you know. But to kick off the show, we had Randy Orton taking on The Fiend.
Why does WWE always ruin Bray Wyatt when he's facing Orton?
Because they don't know how to book something like him.
They couldn't even book the box-like structure properly.
The box-like structure. Would that not be a box, Michael Cole?
Come on.
Anyway, the match started out good. Right from the opening entrances, the Jack in the Box. It was a fun entrance for Bray, I think.
Yeah,
it was what the whole story has been about.
Yeah.
Trapped in a box.
And it's like the transition from the burnt creature back into
Bray, the Fiend.
The renewed Fiend.
The renewed Fiend. Keishi, what did you ask?
I said, what is his skincare regimen? Because, damn.
Yeah. And I just assumed it was aloe vera.
it's like The Fiend or went up to R-Truth and asked him what he did to keep himself ageless. R-Truth gave him his secrets out of fear.
Yep.
And we got what we got coming out of the Jack in the Box like structure.
Well, R-Truth is like 90 years old, so
that's what I'm saying. And so whatever his skincare regimen is, clearly he told The Fiend so The Fiend could fix all that that he had going on.
Here's the thing. R-Truth used to smoke, so he probably told The Fiend to stop smoking.
Boo.
You laughed before you said boo. Nuh-uh, well, that counts. Well,
I'm obligated as a father to laugh.
At dad jokes. Okay, fair enough. But this match was not Lindsay Ward's favorite.
Everything was good up until the finish.
It was booked very weird. It was too short, Omega. First off,
it was too short, and I hate the ending. Fucking hate the ending. One, I really wanted to see more of. I wanted to see more of that incarnation of Alexa Bliss with The Fiend when you actually had live crowds to react to it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's so much you could do to play with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked because they screamed, holy shit, when she popped out of the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now she's playing mind games with The Fiend.
Well, the story, it feels like the story they're running is that The Fiend showed her how to do this, or like shared his power, and yep. she's getting too strong.
Yep. I have to admit, I am curious as to where they're going to go with this, because I'm interested because of what they did. The thing that pisses me off about this, the Fiend is supposed to be unhurtable and unstoppable, and it was one fucking RKO that put him out.
Yeah. Fucking hate that. That was my other like huge gripe with this finish. It should take an act of God to drop the Fiend.
Yeah.
Like we've seen, like you saw with Rollins, all the shit that got dumped on top of him, and he just stands right back up. No, the RKO is apparently so devastating it can drop the Fiend in one.
I would have been able to accept this finish if it was a case of he got RKO'd, stood up, got RKO'd, stood up, got RKO'd. Like, do it 10 fucking times.
And then make add, like, 2 or 3 punts. Punt kick.
And then, yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh.
And then get the pin.
I'm going all the way back, because this is a key point. They started with the tease of the punt. Going all the way back to when Randy punted Husky.
Okay.
Went all the way back to that.
Yeah, you're right. They did.
If you want to talk long-term storytelling, right there in one spot, it's that.
Yeah, they could have nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, okay, this is major swerve number 2 for WrestleMania weekend for me.
Both
as
shows,
far as I'm concerned.
Both shows open with a finish you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
I mean, on night one, it's a finish I could actually find merit in. This, I don't know why you would kill the Fiend as soon as you brought him back.
They obviously haven't finished this storyline with the two of them.
No, they're transitioning the story to Bray and Alexa.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, if you want to pull this kind of nonsense, you can do it after the match, or you can do it on Raw. I just don't think Mania is the right type of place to do something this weird.
Yep. Personally, with all of the finishes and all of the matches that we had over two nights, I think this is the only finish they absolutely, undeniably, 100% got wrong, KG.
Yeah, it was the one that I liked the least of all of them.
My God, you're somebody's dad.
No, they just, yeah. If Randy was going to win, he should have hit him with multiple, many kicks and RKOs and kicks and RKOs and maybe a toolbox and an RKO.
A toolbox.
There's just a toolbox in the jack-in-the-box.
And maybe,
why not?
Maybe
there was one
he should
on top
have,
of the cage last night.
Maybe he should have figured out a way to drop the jack-in-the-box on the Fiend and then give him an RKO. I don't know.
Just swing it by the crank.
More things to end the Fiend, to take the Fiend down before you pin him. If you're gonna pin
match,
him.
This match was too rushed, and the ending made no sense.
Okay, yeah. All of that aside, props to Bray to start doing a tribute to Luke Harper.
True. Fair. Yeah.
He did the yeah thing in his entrance. That was his first time being on television where he could actually do something since he died. That was a nice tribute.
Yeah.
It was. So, but there's that match. Second match of the night, Rock?
It was the women's tag team title match.
Yeah. I made mention to Casey that this match just did not feel tight.
Yeah.
To me, it tries.
Now, I'm not saying it was an absolutely horrible match, because it wasn't bad. But the problem was, you could see the girls stutter step, waiting for the other girls to get into a position, and vice versa.
Yeah, like, I mean, I mentioned the double stomp timing thing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of mistimings in this match for sure. Oh,
somewhere in Tampa, Natalya and Tamina are still standing in the corner waiting for Nia to come off the turnbuckle.
Yes.
Yeah, that was probably the most glaringly obvious, you know, stutter step.
It's a bad camera cut.
It's a bad camera cut, but they're also standing there for a month and a half.
I mean, this is like, yeah, no, they they were standing there, and they've got the expressions on their face already before Nia's even up on the top rope.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she also stood up there quite a while.
Yeah. She's a big girl trying to do a dive. I mean, with all coming off of two bad knees. I mean,
yeah.
She probably has a hesitation. Speaking of hesitation, going back to the Bad Bunny match, he was the smartest celebrity in the world. When he did his top rope dive, he didn't wait on that top rope. He did not. He just trusted his boys. Yeah. He trusted them.
2 feet, stood up, off he went.
Yeah. Anyway.
For sports fans, in football terms, that's like a snap and throw.
Yeah.
And in hockey terms, it's a one-timer.
There you go.
That would have been the best analogy to use there.
Well, that's why I used it second.
Didn't need the first.
Because that was, yeah. So, but,
a bad tag team match, but not a great tag team match.
No, Casey, you and I have seen worse.
Yeah, very much so.
Hell, I've
Is it a WrestleMania match?
No, I'm sorry to say this was not a WrestleMania caliber match. It was a Fastlane caliber match, maybe, but not WrestleMania.
What about WrestleMania Backlash?
Maybe.
Possibly.
Wow, I'm scrolling through the timings for tonight.
Yeah.
That was the second longest match on the show.
Huh.
I mean, when 10 minutes of it is watching Nia climb up to the turnbuckles.
Yeah. Well, except for Nia's lack of alacrity, if you will, it's just being the second match of the night. I'm putting a lot of their miscues down to nerves.
Yeah, that's possible.
It's also Nia and Tamina in the match.
Yeah, we saw it on SmackDown. No.
Yeah, and my other problem with these it might be a nitpick, but Shayna Baszler is too fast for her own good. She snaps into the next setup for the next move too fast, too quickly.
I mean, look at the system she came up in.
Yeah.
She's up there with a lot of the other women's talents we've already talked about tonight. Natalya. Natalya is a great worker, but she can't work the speed that the current crop of women stars can work. Shayna's an example of that. And then Tamina and Jax, there's no way they can keep up.
Yeah. It was like with Natalya, though, with the training that she has behind her, she's able to compensate.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, Shayna needs, in my opinion, to learn to slow her ass down just a hair. That's all, because it makes her stutter step too much.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, but other than that, yeah, that's what we've got to say about the women's tag team titles.
You should mention Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler retained.
Yes, they did. I was about to say, I'm surprised that they didn't give the belts to Natty and Tamina, because I was figuring that they were going to do that like as some kind of a reward type thing, just based upon the buildup and the chewing out that Paul Heyman gave Natty and Tamina on Talking Smack last week.
He does that to everyone.
But it was such a good promo. Of course, it was Paul Heyman. What do you expect?
Yep.
Yeah, so... next match I have on my list here would be the United States title match, Sheamus versus Riddle. Anybody else feel annoyed by Riddle?
Every time I see him,
I think isn't that kind of what they're trying to do to him?
Yeah, but there's like good character annoying, and there's just overall annoying.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I feel like. And this is only my opinion, my interpretation of what I see when I see him is I go, man, that guy doesn't have a clue, but holy crap, can he go in the ring? That's what I think when I see Riddle.
Yeah, okay, you've got a bit of a point there, but I loved the kickoff tonight. Talk about, you want to stop Riddle? Stomp on his feet.
Yeah.
Not wrong.
I was hoping to see Sheamus freaking do that tonight.
I'm instead, kick the crap out of his face.
He did.
Yeah.
Like if you're not going to stomp on his feet, I guess the best alternative is to legitimately boot Riddle right in his face.
Well, yeah, he legit busted him open a hard way, right, with that finishing kick, didn't he? With that
rope. Oh boy, did he ever.
Nailed it just a little bit too perfectly.
And I think. I will give credit to Riddle for making sure everybody knew that he got legitimately kicked in the face, he did a very good job of showing, accentuating the bleeding of his face.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he was showing it off.
Yeah, because I mean, you could have very easily like not shown, not like the where he got kicked and where he was bleeding. He could have just covered his face or whatever, but
or wiped it off or whatever. He wore like a badge of honor.
Yeah. So I mean that was a good thing to do, to kind of be like, well, Sheamus kicked me right in the face, so.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, you're saying absolutely clueless, but he can really go in the ring. I have to make that admission, Omega, that he is really good once he steps inside the squared circle.
He is good in the ring. He gets on every single one of my nerves. But yeah, like I'm not going to take away from what he can do in a match.
Yep. Yeah, this was a good match. They just like Drew and the Almighty, they beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah. Well, that kick to Riddle's face was almost as brutal as Shayna's kick to Asuka.
Oh yeah.
So
no teeth were harmed
in the making of this bloodletting.
In the making of that bro kick.
Yeah, there you go. So Sheamus, by the way, we should just let everybody know, Sheamus actually won the title off Riddle, thanks to that broken kick in midair. Props to Riddle for taking it, for sure.
Yeah, that can't be an easy spot.
Okay, before we move on Peacock and the WWE Network worldwide, we had Rob Van Dam give Matt Riddle weed papers.
Rolling papers.
Yeah.
Hey, rolling papers can be for tobacco as
cigarettes.
Well.
I mean, I used to roll my own cigarettes.
He wasn't specific on what you rolled in those papers.
We all know what you he rolls.
You know, but hey,
they did. If they don't say it, they have plausible deniability.
Those are completely legal to sell. There's no restriction on those.
Yep.
And I mean, if you're Jay and Silent Bob, they use rolling papers for a completely different reason.
Oh, by the way, Casey, have you seen the reboot?
Yeah, many, many times.
Fucking hilarious. Omega, you're not into that, are you?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you should watch it anyway, because it's freaking funny. Just some of the inside jokes. Never mind all the pot smoking and crap. The inside jokes are worth it. I've seen it 3 times. I'll see it again. Anyway, yeah, moving on. Next match. Oh, I really, really liked this one. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn with Logan Paul.
I mean, I could have done without the Logan Paul, but yeah, this was, I mean, when you put Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn together, you expect nothing less than what we got from them.
Yeah, like, I would never anticipate those two to not put on a great match.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I love, every time they face off against each other, Sammy actually gets the opportunity to show how good he really is in that ring. And he pulled off some really great things tonight. Believe it or not, Blue Thunder was is now a different move.
Yes.
Well, only for 2 minutes, and then it gets corrected.
It has not been Michael Cole's weekend.
No, it has not.
I will say this. I said it, and this is the only time I'm ever going to say this. I actually feel bad for Michael Cole because of all the calls to miss that Bianca and Sasha call. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
That could not have been easy going backstage after that.
No, and I mean, based on the comments that were floating around the commentary teams on night two, I guess he's at least making, you know, light of the acknowledgement that he done goofed quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's owning it, which is nice, because there are probably other commentators at other times that would have just
ignored,
not been like, hey, I know, and I'm sorry. They would have just been like, oh, well, whatever, heat of the moment, blah, blah, blah.
But here's the thing. He's so trained in WWE style, he's used to people kicking out the first finish.
That's
am I wrong on that one?
No,
you're not exactly wrong completely. But yes, yeah, that goof up by Cole is the only mar on this match tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, how nice was it to see for us? But probably also, this is probably one of the first times that those two work together where Sammy was probably the bad guy.
Yeah.
So, like, that was at least, you know, I mean, we've seen these guys battle hundreds of times over the years, not only in the WWE, but through independence.
Regional circuits all through Canada.
Yeah, so I'm sure it was a nice change for not only us, but for them to kind of flip the script a little bit and work from the other side of things.
Yeah, it's not like they would work Sammy heel in the independents on a regular. That just did not happen. He was always the golden boy. So yeah. this was fun for fans of Kevin and Sammy, especially.
Yeah. There's about 10 seconds after the match that I went on loop forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
I would have preferred if he was nowhere near WrestleMania, but I guess if he has to be,
yeah. Like, I was hoping it's still Storm, so maybe a lightning bolt would hit him, but, you know, that's just me.
That's quite a few people.
Don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel.
You mean the insufferable waste of humanity that is Logan Paul.
There you go. And, of course, we're all hoping for Sammy to take it out on him. He doesn't. Kevin fills in. Do it. Please. Yes.
You know, it's not a package pile driver off the pirate ship, but I'll take it. It's a classic Stone Cold moment.
Yep. So, and of course, we're talking about Kevin Owens stunning Logan Paul. And who the is Logan Paul anyway?
He is an ass hat of a YouTuber who is really popular, but also does really stupid shit, like fly to Japan, visit the suicide forest, and make videos making fun of the body hanging from a tree.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know that that question was not a legitimate question.
Then let's move on, Tim.
No, but let me inform listeners of why I loathe the man so much.
Well, yeah, this is true. I mean, like, that's just one reason. But the guy, you know, today's crowd just amazes me how they can take somebody like that and make him famous.
It's the internet, Tim. People are on TikTok. Everyone's famous now.
Yeah, fuck.
Next match.
When everybody is famous, nobody's famous. Anyway, next match. Oh, no drums were harmed in the making of this match, guys.
No
drums were used in the making of this match either.
No, he got thrown into one. There was one
There were two drums that got knocked over.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
One drum getting thrown into one drum, two fell. So, but that's not really what we were talking about. Yeah, we're talking about the Nigerian no drum match. No rules, no limits, anything goes for the Intercontinental title. Apollo Crews taking on the champion, Big E.
You got your drum stuff. They use the kendo sticks that sound like drums on the bodies.
They didn't sound like drums. They sounded like poor imitations of Bianca's hair whip.
Yeah, when you are as big as Apollo Crews and you can't swing a cane and make as much noise as Bianca's hair, that'll tell you how much the hair whip hurts.
Yeah.
Match itself, I don't know. Nothing really feels memorable about it.
Are you kidding me? There was something memorable about it.
Well, the end of it.
Yeah, there you go. Talk about it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the actual match itself. Yeah.
Big E needs to stop doing the dive because it looks like he's going to kill himself every single time.
Yeah, that scared the hell out of me.
It always scares the hell out of me.
Well, I think that's the point. I think that's why he does it, is because he wants to scare the hell out of you three guys.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, specifically us three.
Yeah, but all it takes is for him to, like, accidentally clip his toe on the middle rope and, you know, his career is over.
Yeah, this is true. So, I'm not laughing because it's funny, because it's not funny.
I liked the stuff they did in the match that didn't involve any of the non-DQ stuff. And, like, yeah. I understand that they needed some sort of hook because this is about, what, the third time that they went against each other?
Fifth?
Yep. More like six.
Well, I meant like the third time when I actually, you know, was really, really invested in it, as opposed to it just being.
Are you really invested in it?
I mean, the video that Big E did to hype this up really, really pulled me
in. That was a good video. Yeah.
So, yes, I was invested in this match. But I think I would have appreciated it a lot more if there was the no disqualification gimmick where they, you know, use the stairs and the kendo sticks and all that stuff, which I understand why they did it.
I want to see somebody go through a drum, damn it, or at least wear one as a hula hoop.
Right. But I think they could have had an equally good or better one without this stipulation.
Yeah, I'm not sure why the stipulation exists, because, you know, there is something really awkward about a stipulation like this, because I feel like they're putting too many African stereotypes into Apollo Crews' new character.
Yep.
Now, his parents are from Nigeria, so that part checks out.
That,
but I don't think
the accent of his doesn't check out.
The fake accent doesn't check out. I'm not sure the spears in all of his motifs is appropriate.
You mean the giant Q-tip he's carrying now?
No, the ones that are the spear. Well,
I know.
It was a spear.
The first,
and
thing.
Then yeah, but it's still in his logo graphic that was showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he carries an American Gladiator stick.
Mm-hmm. The pugil stick or something like that they called it.
Yeah, pugil stick.
Yeah.
Is it feeling a little too racial for you?
A little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah, like it's just, I feel very awkward with where they are going and what they're doing with this character. It just feels like on one hand, I'm glad they're giving Apollo something to work with.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's just, I'm not terribly comfortable with watching it.
Well, to me, it'd be a totally different thing if they had evolved it over months and months. But they spring this Nigerian descendant of Nigerian royalty on us like 2 weeks ago.
It's been a little longer than that, but yeah.
Well, not really in the grand scheme of things, but you get what I'm talking about. It's like it just feels like it came out of nowhere. There was no proper buildup for the reveal.
Yeah.
And I've got no problems at all having other countries, other cultures, other races highlighted.
That's the thing.
But do it right.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like there's tasteful ways of doing it, like, because there's other performers that incorporate their culture and their heritage into their gimmicks. You know, Asuka came out with cherry blossoms today, which is like, I kind of want that to always be her intro because it was beautiful.
It was also like time of the year appropriate.
Yeah, it is cherry blossom season.
Yeah, but when it comes across so heavy-handed, like it is right now with Apollo Crews, it just comes across to me with somebody with some kind of and I'm sorry to sound this way, please understand where I'm coming from. It just feels like some guilt, heavy-handed guilt about something.
Basically, say, well, I think we're all saying is, based on what we know about WWE, the company, and where this story is going, we'd all feel a lot better if we all knew that this was 100% all Apollo's idea.
That wouldn't hurt either. It just really feels clumsy. Yes. A lot clumsier than if Keishi, you and I had this discussion. When I first started up Canadian All Pro, I asked if you could speak Japanese.
And I can speak a dozen words.
And which is like six more words than you knew when I asked you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's because I've learned some words over the years as my father has taught my child Japanese words that I didn't know existed.
Yep.
And then I give him that puzzling look of like, where was this when I was a kid?
Yeah. But my whole thing with Canadian All Pro was basically reinventing the characters to make you guys stand out from RCW in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And like, I was successful with Bucky. I had him grow out his hair, grab a leather jacket, and throw on some aviators, and we called him Maverick Mike Briggs. And he looked like a blonde Tom Cruise.
Yep.
He really did. And I approached you. I asked you, can you speak Japanese? What do you think about doing a character that just does Japanese and we'll get somebody to pretend to be a translator for you? And you shot that down, and I respected it.
Well, I mean, mostly because I can't speak Japanese. If I could have spoke Japanese, I wouldn't have needed the translator. I would have just done it.
Understood English, but responded in Japanese.
Yeah, but I don't... I don't speak Japanese, so I said no, mostly because I knew that I could not learn Japanese in enough time to make it work.
Yeah, and my big thing is I respected that, and we just went your way with that, and your character was you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's just what you're saying, what Omega's saying, what I'm saying, what Rock's agreeing to, probably, is this can't be 100% until proven otherwise. This can't be 100% Apollo's idea.
No.
So the finish of the match, Tim.
The finish of the match was beatdown by who is that guy?
The new Truth Commission.
Dabo Kato. He has a new name. It's like, who is that guy? We only saw him on Raw Underground and on other programming.
Well, didn't he literally come out on Raw and fight someone, not Underground?
Mm-hmm. But, you know.
He's Commodore Aziz now.
Yeah, he's been given a new character and a new identity, all that other crap.
So, for those wondering, Dabo Kato is actually Nigerian.
Yeah, so for above the board.
Well, that's smart.
So he's the heavy for Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews is your intercontinental
allows Apollo Crews to win the title that he doesn't deserve.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, and I mean, he doesn't deserve because he cheated to win. Don't read anything into it. I don't need any more flat.
He's once again the mid-card champion.
There you go. So, moving on to the next match. This is probably my, I'm saying second, but not second as in second place. This is my favorite match of the night, number two. My co-favorite. Raw Women's title match, Rhea Ripley taking on Asuka.
Yeah.
Wow.
Indeed. This was...
I was not expecting the speed of this match.
I was not expecting the fluidity of this match with the speed.
Yeah, considering it's their first match.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what was cool? Because we haven't had it in over a year. The dueling chant.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Mm. Crowds are nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We won't have them for 4 more months, but hey, they were nice.
Back to the Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Well, maybe they'll pipe in the dueling chants. Won't be the same.
It is great. It is great when they find someone who is just as willing to murder as Asuka is.
Yep. Well, what's really good is both of these characters have a mean streak.
Yes,
and there's something about a babyface with a mean streak that is appealing, and I don't know why. But
there is something to it where, like, if you're like The Rock,
yep,
you can be a goofball, you can be silly, and you can just have laughs. Because you are so confident in how good you are when you turn it on and go all out that you don't care what anyone thinks of it.
Yep.
You just know that this is not, there's no embarrassment to this, or, there's nothing soft about being the baby face here, because step in the ring with me, I will knock you down, and they know it. And there is something super cool and confident about that.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. You just totally nailed it. I'm echoing your sentiments, both of you. These two ladies delivered like we did not expect, because this was their first time facing each other. Like, oh, this is the first time. Yeah, but only WWE. No, it's the first time ever that they faced each other. And I think Rhea Ripley has one hell of a future ahead of her if she can stay healthy.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to have that good of chemistry when you've never wrestled someone before is, like, that. It's so good.
Absolutely. Very entertaining match. Very enjoyable. Not a lot of false finishes in this particular instance. He didn't need them, but the one thing I did point out was Rhea Ripley was having wardrobe malfunctions all night long, but not the kind you would expect.
Her bling was falling off.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally, when Rhea's loop snaps, it's her earlobe.
Yeah. But just, I really don't know what else to say about this match, guys. It was just so damn good.
Yeah. I mean, we should say who won.
Well, Rhea winds up winning the title, takes it from Asuka. Of course, yeah. The look on Asuka's face afterwards was absolutely great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But after it felt like Rhea was performing so well in NXT but never quite hitting the height she deserved to, I'm actually really happy that she walks into the main roster and just immediately takes that spot.
Yeah.
Like, that shows so much confidence in her.
Absolutely. One thing I'm torn about, Keishi, as somebody working in the ring, and Omega as somebody who watches the product, she's the newest arrival on the main show. She wins the title, her first main bout out. She doesn't just win the title, but she beats one of the hardest working women in the ring. And she holds up the title, and the look on her face is like, this is old hat. There's no excess emotion. I'm not sure yet, because this is so new for her to be on Raw. I'm not sure how to read that. Do you know what I mean, Omega?
It's a weird contrast, because we saw how much emotion you had with Bianca on night one.
Well, shit, she was breaking down in tears before the match even started. Yeah.
Well, her and Sasha were both having trouble holding it back. And even after the match, you know, she's crying because she just won a main event at a WrestleMania.
Yep.
But, you know, even Sasha was at ringside smiling just because she was so damn proud of what they just did.
Yep.
And then, like, for this with Ripley, it's back to that just, like, confidence. Just, she, like, you know, like, with Bianca, I can believe the emotional position she was in, because it's a huge moment. It's a huge moment for Rhea, too, but we talk about that baby face with a mean streak that is just super confident in themselves. That's what I got out of this. Like, she went in knowing she was going to win a title.
Yeah, well, and also, additionally, like, Rhea came in as the heel. Like, she, on Raw, they were in a tag match. She betrayed Asuka to kind of set up, like, Rhea Ripley is the one you should be booing. So the way that she looks when she wins that title is like, okay, it makes sense, because she's, you know, like, it's the contrast between her and Bianca, where Bianca is obviously the one you're supposed to cheer for, the one everybody wants to cheer for, where they positioned Rhea as a way of, if she wins, it's the same thing of, like, you don't see any heel champion kind of, like, that's badass the way that Rhea Ripley is badass, celebrate their victory, whether they retain or whether they win, with, you know, emotion and tears of joy. It's, yes, I won this because I'm supposed to, and I knew that I was supposed to win it, and this is why my face is the face of, this is exactly what I expected.
Well, the commentators were basically pushing confidence all night long. They were talking about it repeatedly.
Yep.
So, but I'm still not sure, you know, I'm still not sure how to take it. You know, it's going to give me a couple of weeks and see how her character, that feeling of confidence progresses. Now, when I say I'm not sure how to take it, you made the point, Casey. She came into this as the de facto heel.
Yeah.
Does she stay a heel?
Or we'll find
is
out
she
tomorrow.
That confident champion who, like, I don't give a fuck, I'll take everybody on, heel or baby?
I mean, she's in a position where she can do that anyway and still be a heel.
Yeah.
Well, like, she can come in being... And not, like, she can be the badass heel, kind of similar to how Roman Reigns is being a badass heel. No. I mean, Roman Reigns gets help from Jey Uso from time to time to time to time to time in order to retain his belt. But
pretty
I'm talking
much every
more,
time. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking more of, like, the way he carries himself in a way that, like, he, you know, I'm Roman Reigns. I'm a badass. I will win because I expect to win, and this is the face of a man who knows that I will beat you, and keeping this title is basically inevitable. So Rhea Ripley, as far as tonight goes, and I don't know going forward what they're going to do with her, had that kind of same air about her, where I'm walking into this match expecting to win because that's what I believe and that's what's going to happen. my victory and winning this championship is inevitable. And that's kind of what was written all over her face.
She did it in NXT UK when she became the first champion. She's done it in regular NXT by becoming champion and now on the main roster.
Yeah. So, I mean, if she went in there as a babyface, you would probably see different things about it. There would probably be a little bit more emotion on her face and stuff like that, but no. That's not the direction I'm assuming they're going with her. But we'll find out tomorrow when she comes to Raw and talks about her victory.
And whatever they pipe in.
Yes.
Yep, that's true. So there's that one. Rhea Ripley is the new women's champion on Raw. We're down to the last match of the night, which means the last match of WrestleMania. And I wasn't looking forward to this because I'm with Edge. I don't think it should have been a triple threat. I'm with Sonya Deville. I don't think it should have been a triple threat. Omega.
I mean, I don't think any main event of a WrestleMania should be a triple threat outside of WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
But then that was a position where they had to. They had no choice but to make that a triple threat because there was no way out of that match without the stadium being set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm always in favor of the WrestleMania main event being a one-on-one between the Royal Rumble winner and the current champion.
Yeah. That being said, damn, was this a good match.
I really enjoyed heel Edge for that entrance. He's such a heel. Got the loudest pop of the goddamn weekend.
You knew. Making him heel for this match was so forced. You knew the crowd coming back for the first time after a year, getting to see Edge in a WrestleMania main event. You knew they weren't going to boo him. He could have punt kicked a baby, like not Snitsky, like a real baby. And they still would have cheered him.
Well, you know, this whole lead up, it I felt like Daniel Bryan was the heel for crashing the party, you know?
Fan, though, you believe that. So, like, there's no reason it shouldn't have just been Edge and Roman.
Yeah. My hope was that they would keep the whole three-way dance brewing, but let Edge take on Roman, let Daniel have the winner down the road.
But that was not what the beast. Let's talk about the match that we got.
So, well, Jey Uso at ringside, interfering as we expected it, which was perfectly legal because no DQ.
He was the most impressive man in that match. The flowers around his neck stayed on the entire time he was out there until he got taken away. Every move, it stayed around his neck.
Well, he used stick 'em. That's what I figured.
It was a very well done triple threat match.
Well, each guy had a chance to highlight himself and his talents and his moves. And what else are you going to say about it, really? Right?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was very well done.
Yeah, your turn, Omega. Chime in.
I didn't want it to be a triple threat, but I enjoyed the match still.
Yeah.
Look at the talent in the ring.
Even though everybody didn't want this to be a triple threat match, I don't think anybody was kind of mad at the three competitors that we were going to get regardless.
Oh, yeah. I said it on Twitter. Like, this is a match between a man who lost his career to a neck injury, a man who lost his career to concussions, and a man who lost his career to leukemia. And none of them gave up. They all busted their ass to get back into the ring, and now they're main eventing WrestleMania. Okay, like, on a storyline level, yes, I have issues with this. But for the talent in the ring, there's nothing you can do to convince me they didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
No, 100% I'm with you on that one. All three of them absolutely did. And you get this caliber that these three are in that ring at the same time. If you're disappointed, you're not a wrestling fan and you just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So Roman Reigns winds up retaining thanks to Jey Uso. Really good right near the end of the match. Really, really well done. Everybody getting to that point thinking, oh, Edge is going to do it. Edge is going to do it. He's got it. Boom. Out comes Jey.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to come back. I thought they were going to take him out early and make it a thing, and then he came flying back in.
Yeah, but not to jump all over the place, which is what I do anyway. I have to admit, the headbutts made me giggle. The headbutts gave me a chuckle.
It worried me because it's two guys with neck injuries doing headbutts.
Yeah.
You got the cross face versus the crippler. Or the, whatchamacallit?
Yitzhak. Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That was
quite good, but.
It was like the nice little tiny bit of comedy that you could have put into the match, and it worked out well. Just like those two looking at each other and just like, no, I'm pulling. No, I'm pulling. Oh, yeah, we'll take this. Well, I'll take this. It was like there's a little bit of Edge and Christian edge in there.
Yeah, you could hear them on the mic. Let go. No, you let go.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. And of course, kudos to Paul Heyman for yet again all of the incredible facial expressions in the background.
Oh, yeah. So
I love when he's at ringside. But what else would you like to say about this match, Omega?
Technically, the one with his shoulders down on the mat was the one being covered by Edge first.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, Edge has a dispute for winning this match.
I mean, no. I thought he set it up well to have both sets of shoulders down, but
I mean, I get it. Like, I do ultimately, because I do like the whole, like, even though you've got Jay helping him win matches, you know, Roman still comes off as so superior and dominant that, like, I'm glad they maintain it. Like, that's a really just imposing way to end a Mania, is to pin both on top of each other simultaneously.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That was pretty impressive.
There's not much, like, when he says, oh, I'm the head of the table, that there's no real disputing that you can do at that point.
Yeah. And just the little bits of him walking over and chirping at that one specific side of the ring that seemed to be giving him the most gears.
Oh, he was really chirping.
Yeah, and after the match, he just walked straight over there, and he was like, what now?
Just giving him a really slow head shake.
I think he's enjoying what he's doing right now.
oh, hell yeah.
Just a little bit.
That was the slow burn right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, it was great. So that is the main event for night two, which I guess you could say it was the main event for WrestleMania weekend, because it was the match that closed the weekend off. And Roman, of course, retains. So where do we go from here? Well, we'll find out starting tomorrow night when the new season kicks off.
Won't we find out that on Friday?
Well, I'm talking about overall with everything, because WrestleMania is always regarded as the end of the year, you know, the end of the wrestling year.
Yeah.
And now the new wrestling year starts tomorrow.
Pick'em results, Tim.
Pick'em results, starting at the bottom. Jobber all by himself in 15th place. He didn't pick any, so he got none right. 14th place all by himself, Rob. He got two right and 11 wrong. This is just really depressing. I tied the 8-ball again for 12th place. We were right 5 times, wrong 9 times. Three-way tie for 9th place. Chris P., Omega, and Tommy, you all got 6 right, 8 wrong.
Yeesh.
This is weird. 8th place by itself, the wheel got 6.5 right out of 7.
Wait,
what? 6.5 right, 7 wrong.
Wait. Explanation.
I'm waiting for one myself, Rock.
How did a digital object get half a point?
Okay, intern, you still in the chat room? Explain this to us, will you? 6.5 right, 7 wrong.
Because I forget the reasoning. There's some weird reason he chose it. I forget.
Did it predict, like, Natalya with the different tag partner?
I think it was, we did a Wheel 3 gimmick, Wrestler 3 gimmick. I think that's what he's going off of. I don't remember. It's late. I don't remember his stupid reasoning. Continue.
All right, make notes. In 7th place, 7 right, 6 wrong. Tied in 5th place, intern, and some guy named Kyle. 8 right, 6 wrong. Anybody in Okashi?
Maybe.
All right. In 2nd place, tied Lindsay, Rock, and Sheila. 9 right, 5 wrong. All by himself in 1st place, our buddy Michael over in the, I keep forgetting, is it Switzerland or Sweden?
Sweden.
He got 10 right and 4 wrong. which is pretty damn good for a WrestleMania weekend, 14 matches. Congratulations again, Michael. You have won again.
Good job.
Oh, there it is. The wheel picked Wrestler 3, and he counted that. So it was technically correct with the updated pick, but Wrestler 3 was the official pick, thus only half a point for getting it right the second time.
Yeah, told you it was convoluted.
If that makes any sense at all, then you haven't been up too long like everybody else has.
Wrestler 3.
Lindsay wanted a Wrestler 3 on the wheels just to have another option.
So there it is, everybody. Our WrestleMania 37 review edition of WTR Sunday Night. Thank you all very much for tuning in. Don't forget tomorrow, immediately following Raw's post show.
It is indeed the Monday Night Raw post show. I think someone has something to rant about. Tune in at 11 p.m. Eastern.
And of course, more WrestleMania fallout Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, with the multi-time award-winning Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward.
Yeah. We're going to review night 2. We've already done night 1. We previewed WrestleMania. We reviewed NXT TakeOver. It's been a long weekend.
There you go. And it's going to be, you got another really long 5 days ahead of you, Rock, or 6 days.
Oh, I know. But we did like 2.5 hours Thursday, 2.5 hours Friday, an hour and a half last night.
Yep.
More to come Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack.
2 hours and 5 minutes tonight, too. So,
and I did a CB radio, too, last night, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's CB. Speaking of which, further plugging, midnight-ish, or as close to get to it, Saturday night's CB Radio, the home of the Challenge, Greater Than Great Debate, Larry.
Yeah, check out CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Speaking of the Rack, one more plug. Available tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, will be the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Season 2, Episode 15. So right after the Raw post show, that will be available to download.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, or 10 o'clock Eastern, if we got a couple of things we can come up with to talk about, we'll talk about it next Sunday night on Russell Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night. So stay tuned. Check out all social media. Speaking of which, Rock, where are we on social medias?
At Wild Talk Radio, at Facebook.com, it's Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter.
And, of course, speaking about Twitter, you can follow me at Flames Forms. You can find out what I think about Calgary Flames goaltender David Riddick getting traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, literally 5 minutes before we started the live webcast. I'll let you know my thoughts and opinions. But I'll also talk wrestling and other stuff, and a whole slew of dad jokes and shit like that. It's a whole bunch of fun nonsense you should follow. Follow me at Flames Forums. You can also follow me at Voice Insanity if you want to get my political views. That's the serious side and somewhat controversial sometimes to some people. But never mind that. Controversial to everybody all the time just because he doesn't like the toys you play with. I'm kidding, Omega. Go ahead.
I like some of them. In fact, I like most of them.
Oh,
but your favorite, but your, I like most of the toys, but your favorite one sucks. So, if you want to see what I am up to on the internet, you can find me just about everywhere you can look. Facebook and Instagram, find me at The Plastic Addict. Everywhere else, search for TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel. That is the website, TJOmega.net. That is the Twitch channel. I am all over the place.
It's scary.
Try living it.
No, you're doing that. I don't have to. There you go. Hey, Keishi.
Yo.
Get on Twitter. Get on Twitter.
I am on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at the Kyle Driver. I occasionally tweet. Most of the time, they're really, really boring tweets because I strive to make your lives better by showing you how boring my life is. You can also find me when things get going up here in the Great White North at Real Canadian Wrestling.
they do have some matches posted on their YouTubes and social medias. So when that gets going, you can find me doing stuff there. You can also find me at the Clandestine Society. There is another episode premiering on Saturday, April 24th. So this coming Saturday, I believe, 6 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can also rewatch episode one on demand at the Backbreaker Media YouTube, where myself and many other wonderful Alberta wrestlers did some super fun closed set dollar store style Thunderdome wrestling. It was very fun. Well, I mean, it was like a Thunderdome where there were no fans, but we didn't have 6 million wonderful LED screens, so dollar store Thunderdome. But the wrestling is great. I encourage you all to watch that one on demand. Get ready for episode two. Follow Clandestine Society and Real Canadian Wrestling on all their social medias.
There you go. And that's it. That's all she wrote, everybody. If you're a sports fan, if you like hockey, don't forget NHL trade deadline is tomorrow. So if you're wanting to find out if anybody's moving to a different team, follow your favorite sports network and you'll find out. That being said, I'm done. You're done. We're done. Have yourselves a great night and let's send Rock to bed.
WildTalkRadio.com.